Well, today is the second Sunday of Advent, and our message will come from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. These are the words of God. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star that they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasuries, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. And he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. O Lord God, this is the Christmas story. This is why we have Christmas. And so now we pray that you would open it to us, to each heart, by the Holy Spirit, to your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this Advent season, I want to speak especially to you young people. I want to speak directly to you children, and I want to speak directly to you teens. And what I want to talk about is some mysteries of Christmas, some aspects of Christmas that are not well understood at all, and in fact, some of them are misunderstood. And today I want to talk about the Magi, the wise men who came from the east to worship Jesus. Now you see that in our text in Matthew, it calls them wise men. But the New Testament, it was originally written in Greek. And in Greek, the term is magoi, or magi, as we would say in English. Now many Christmas stories have arisen about the Magi. You have probably heard stories or songs about three wise men or three kings who came to worship Jesus. And some stories even give names to them. And you have probably seen many pictures or perhaps manger scenes with three figurines for three wise men or three kings. We tend to picture in our minds three wise men or three kings traveling on camels all by themselves to come and worship Jesus. But if you look at what Matthew actually tells us, he doesn't say how many magi there were. And he doesn't tell us that they were traveling by themselves or that they were traveling on camels. Now, an interesting thing is that in the catacombs of Rome, the catacombs, children, were caves that were dug down under the city of Rome where they buried people. And that's where the Christians used to hide so that they could worship Jesus without being persecuted by the Roman government. But in those catacombs where the primitive Christians used to hide out and worship, there is an old drawing of the Magi. And interestingly, the drawing shows them with a large group of soldiers, which is very different from the way we usually picture them. So who were these Magi? Well, the word for Magi is originally from the Persian language. And Persia was a land to the east of the Roman Empire and to the east of Jerusalem. So we see the Magi say in verse 2, "We have seen his star in the east." The east is where they came from, the land where the sun rises. And the Persians had a very powerful empire long before the Romans did. Now, if you remember the story of Daniel and his three friends, which is related in the book of Daniel, and if you remember in chapter 5 of Daniel, it tells the very interesting story of Belshazzar's feast. Belshazzar was feasting with all of his nobles when suddenly a hand appeared out of nowhere and began to write on the wall. And they had to call Daniel to interpret the writing. And he told Belshazzar that God had written on the wall that he had weighed Belshazzar in the balance and found him wanting. In other words, God was saying to Belshazzar, "You have sinned grievously, and I am going to judge you." And that very night, the empire of Babylon fell. Well, whom did it fall to? It fell to the Medes and the Persians, who were working together. Over time, the Persians were more powerful than the Medes, and they became the leaders of the empire. Now, much later, when the Roman Empire arose, it conquered more territory than anybody. But one place the Roman Empire was never able to conquer was Persia. Now, the Magi were wise men, very learned, like Daniel, many years before. But they were also very powerful. They were wise men and they were rulers in the land of Persia. No one could become king of Persia unless they had the support of the Magi. And remember, many years before, Daniel himself had been a Magi. In fact, he had been the chief Magi of the city of Babylon. So the Magi were familiar with Daniel's prophecies about a coming one, a coming child who would come up to be a king, and not just a normal earthly king, but one who would actually ascend into heaven and come before the Ancient of Days and receive a different kind of kingdom, a kingdom that consists of all kingdoms and all peoples, that all kings would bow to him. In other words, he would be the King of Kings. And so they were familiar with this prophecy. Now, if you remember also, something very interesting about the book of Daniel is that the middle section of it is not written in Hebrew. It's not written in the language of God's people. Rather, it was written in Aramaic, which was the language of the Babylonian Empire. So in the book of Daniel, in this vision of this Son of Man coming before God and receiving a kingdom consisting of all kingdoms, God was not just writing to his people. He was writing to everybody. He was putting the whole world and all the kings on notice about his plan for a coming king who would bring a new kind of kingdom, the kingdom of God, to the whole world and salvation to the whole world. So, there were Magi at the time of Jesus' birth who were waiting and looking for this promised king. And they believed that there would be a sign in heaven, like a star, showing them when that king had been born. Now, these Magi in the story in Matthew have seen such a sign in heaven, indicating the birth of the new king. And they have traveled all the way from the east, from the land of the rising sun, looking for the new king, who is also the king of the Jews. Now, many pictures that you see of the Magi or manger scenes of the Magi will show them riding on camels. But let me tell you a little secret. They were not riding on camels. You see, children, the Persians had the finest horses in the entire world. And no Persian ruler would ever ride on the back of a camel. They rode on the back of these magnificent horses. They only used camels for carrying baggage. And no Persian ruler or group of rulers like these magi would ever travel alone. They were too important. They would be accompanied by soldiers on horseback with spears and shields. Now, I put in the back for you a picture. This is a copy of the cover of a little book that was written some 50 years ago by the late pastor Dwayne Spencer, who spent many years studying these things. And in this picture, you will see what the Persians actually looked like at that time, what the Magi would have looked like, and what the Persian soldiers looked like. And you can see here, they're all on these very fine horses. The soldiers have spears and shields with them, and so forth. This is a much more exact replication of what they would have looked like at the time. So, picture now a group of magi, we don't know how many, well could have been more than three, maybe a lot more, powerful rulers from Persia who were not under Roman rule. In fact, the Persians had beaten the Romans when they tried to take Persia. And interestingly, Herod, now king of the Jews, had been one of the Romans who was fighting against the Persians who had been beaten by the Persians. So here come the Magi, these Persian rulers, and a large number of soldiers with spears and shields, all mounted on the finest horses in the world, and they ride into Jerusalem, and they're looking for the newborn king of the Jews. Now, of course, they assume that the newborn king is going to be at the palace, right? That's where kings live, in the palace. They assume that Herod, the current king of the Jews, would know all about the new coming king, and that he would be living at the palace with Herod, and that Herod would be preparing everybody to honor the newborn king, and that all the religious leaders, the chief priests and the scribes, would know all about him, and they would all be honoring him. But that's not what they found. Herod didn't know anything about a newborn king. Nobody seemed to be very concerned with the matter. So they ride through the city, and they ride up to Herod's palace gates, and they want to meet with Herod. Now, you can see why Matthew tells us that Herod was troubled. In other words, he was nervous. He was scared. He didn't know what this meant. And all the city was scared, too. You see, the Magi and all those Persian soldiers on those magnificent horses would have stirred up everybody. There's no way they could have come into the city by secret. And Herod and the people would have wondered whether the Persians were starting a war. But the Magi are there in peace. They just want to honor the newborn king. Surely Herod would know all about him. But like I said, he didn't. And Herod didn't know who he was, and Herod didn't know where he was. He didn't know anything about him. Now, before we go any further, children, I need to tell you something about Herod. Herod was one of the most wicked men who's ever lived. He was one of the most cruel men who has ever lived. He was power hungry. He was sly. He was ruthless. It is said by those who knew Herod that he only loved one person other than himself in his entire life, and that was his first wife. And he killed her and her children so they couldn't be a threat to his throne. The Caesar once remarked that it was better to be Herod's pig than Herod's child because of how cruel he was. So Herod has to be very sly because he doesn't want any threat to his throne. He wants to get rid of this newborn king. So Herod puts the Magi on hold, and he quickly and secretly calls together the chief priests and the scribes, who were the Bible scholars of that day. And he asked them where the Messiah is supposed to be born. The scholars tell Herod in Bethlehem of Judea. And they quote the prophet Micah, where it says that out of Bethlehem shall come a ruler who will shepherd God's people. Then Herod secretly meets with the Magi again, and he asks them when the star appeared that signaled the birth of the newborn king. And they told him. You see, Herod is trying to determine how old this child is so he can better find him and kill him. Now, first, Herod thinks, I'll let the Magi find him for me, and then when they're gone, I will kill him. So Herod pretends that he wants to worship the new king as well. And so he tells the Magi, once you find the child, bring back word to me so I can come to worship him also. Really, he wants to kill him. So the Magi began to travel to Bethlehem. Now, Bethlehem was about 7 or 8 miles away from Jerusalem out in the country. So if you were walking there, children, it would take you a couple of hours to walk there if you were walking at a good pace. And as they set out on the road, though, the star that they had seen in the east reappeared, and it went before them, and it stood over the house where Jesus and his parents lived. Now, you notice that Matthew tells us that they were in a house. It doesn't say they were in a stable like it was when Jesus was first born. When they first got there, you remember there was no place for them, and they were in a stable. That's where Mary delivered. But now they're in a house. That's because at this point, Jesus wasn't just a little bitty newborn baby anymore. Now, he was still a baby, or maybe you would call him a little toddler, but he wasn't just freshly born. His parents had had time to find a house, and so Jesus could have been several months old. Now he could have been a year old, maybe even a year and a half old at this point. But when the Magi find Jesus, they come into the house and they worship him. They honored him as the king and as their king, the king that God himself had sent into the world. Now, in those days, children, when you wanted to honor a king, you just didn't come before the king and say, I honor you, old king. That doesn't matter. You gave the king gifts. That's the way you honored the king. That's the way you showed that you were serious. And so the Magi here, who are very powerful Persian wise men and rulers, brought to Jesus very expensive gifts. They didn't give cheap gifts. They gave the best gifts that they had to offer. They gave Jesus gold. Now, children, even today, gold is very expensive. Now, children, I'm sure you've held at some point a slice of bread in your hand. Perhaps you've held one of the slices of bread that we serve in communion in your hand. You know how much that weighs. It doesn't weigh very much. The weight of a slice of bread is about an ounce, okay? Well, an ounce of gold, the weight of gold, the same as a slice of bread, is worth over $1,000 even today. Now, also, children, maybe you've held a can of beans that your mother brought at the grocery store. Maybe you've held a baseball or a football in your hand. Those all weigh about a pound. If you had a pound of gold, children, you could buy a brand new car with it. That's how valuable gold is even today. But the Magi are not just giving Jesus an ounce or a pound of gold. They're most likely giving him many pounds of gold. They also gave him frankincense. Now, frankincense is something else that was very, very valuable. It was made from the sap of a special tree, and it was something that just smelled delicious. It was really expensive. They used it for very expensive perfume and for incense that you could burn and make your house smell really good. They also gave Jesus myrrh, which is another product made from the sap of a different tree. It also smelled really good and was very expensive. It was used to anoint kings and priests. So gold and frankincense and myrrh were all very expensive, and they were the kind of gifts that you gave to a king to honor him as your king. So by bringing these gifts and presenting them to Jesus, the Magi were saying, you are the king that God has appointed. you are our King. You are the High King. And so after they worshiped Jesus, the Magi were going to return to Herod to tell him who the king was and where he lived. But God knew that Herod intended to kill the child. And so God warned the Magi in a dream not to return to Herod. And so the Magi listen to God. They go around Jerusalem and they head back to Persia. Now you remember what I told you. Herod was one of the most ruthless rulers who ever lived. When he realized that the Magi had left without coming back to tell him who the child was and where he was, Herod was furious. So he decided that instead of killing the one child, he was just going to kill all the baby boys. He was going to kill all the baby boys in Jerusalem and all, I mean, in Bethlehem and all around Bethlehem up to 2 years of age, because he wanted to make sure that he got the newborn king. But again, God knew what Herod was going to do. So God warned Joseph in a dream. And Joseph, again, listened to God. He took Mary and he took Jesus in the middle of the night. And they just left. Nobody knew. They left for Egypt. In this way, God thwarted Herod's attempt to kill Jesus, the newborn king. Now, we see from this that the first Christmas, children, was a very interesting time. There were a lot of things going on. And we also see that the first Christmas wasn't necessarily a happy, jolly time like we think of. It was a very dangerous time with evil men like Herod, who was working hard to kill and to snuff out any threats to his own throne. The book of Revelation tells us in chapter 12 that behind all of these events, behind Herod, was Satan, the old dragon who appeared in the Garden of Eden, who was using Herod to try to kill Jesus, whom Satan knew to be the Son of God. But we see that God is sovereign over all of these things. He's in control of all of these things, and he is always working to accomplish his salvation. So he was working to protect his Son, so that his Son could grow up, so that his Son could teach us during his ministry, so that his Son could go to the cross for us, so that his Son could rise from the dead and ascend into heaven and become the King of Kings and Lord of Lords with all power and authority over all people. So God is showing us through the Magi what Jesus is going to accomplish on earth over time. Over time, God promises us all the kings and rulers of the earth will one day come and worship Jesus just as the Magi did. They will come into Jesus' church and worship Jesus and own him as their king. Many years before the birth of Jesus, God gave a promise through Solomon, which is recorded in Psalm 72, that God would send a king into the world, and that in his days the righteous shall flourish and abundance of peace. How long? Until the moon is no more. How far shall his dominion go? His dominion shall go from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. Who shall worship him? All the kings shall fall down before him, and all nations shall serve him. God was showing us through the Magi his power and his zeal to accomplish his purposes. And so when Jesus is still a baby, God brings powerful, wealthy, and wise rulers from a faraway land to travel at great danger and expense and to come and worship Jesus while he is yet a small child. And God was showing through evil Herod that there is no one who is powerful enough or evil enough to stop God's plan to bring his salvation to the whole world. Even powerful and wealthy rulers such as the Magi will worship him. You see, children, As you get older, if you have a lot of money, if you're wealthy, if you have a lot of power, then you have a special temptation to not acknowledge God, to not acknowledge Christ as Lord, because you feel like you have plenty of power and you have plenty of wealth, and you feel like you're sufficient to yourself for everything you need. But God's gospel and God's plan is so powerful, He's going to bring even the most wealthy and the most powerful in the world to come and acknowledge Christ as the King of Kings. God was also showing us through these events, children, what is most important to Him in people. And what's most important to God in people is that they seek Him with all their heart. They seek Him with all their heart. They come to recognize that God made us. It's part of who we are, so that we have the privilege of personally knowing the God of all the universe, the one who has all power, the one who has all knowledge, the one who is love, the one who is grace, the one who is life, the one who is light. We were made to know this one. And what matters most to God is that we seek Him. How do we seek Him? How does God know if we're truly seeking Him in His heart? Number one, we believe His word. We believe His word. That's what the Magi did. Daniel had lived 500 years before these Magi did. That's a long time. And yet they believed God's word given many, many, many years before. And they believed God who was speaking to them at that time. And they didn't just believe His word, they obeyed His word. They got up. They left their jobs. They left their homes. They left their land. And at great expense and danger, they traveled all those many miles for all those many days to come and worship the newborn King. Now, you have to remember, they were not part of God's people. They weren't living in Judea. They didn't have the temple to come worship God. They didn't have any of those special privileges. They lived far, far away. And yet, they believed God's word. And they obeyed God's word. And they sought God with all of their heart. We see here the power of God, that He can work in this way, that these people so far away, He brings His truth to them. And He calls them to Himself, and they come. That gives us a picture of what Jesus is going to accomplish in history over time. Now, we also see from this story, children, those whom God is not pleased with. Who are those? Well, it's those who don't seek Him, who don't want to know Him, who don't want to walk with Him. And so they don't believe His word, and they don't obey His word. God was not pleased with Herod. God was not pleased with the chief priest. God was not pleased with the scribes, who knew God's word very well. They knew it so well, they could tell Herod right away where the newborn King was supposed to come, in Bethlehem. They knew the word of God. They didn't care. It wasn't important to them. If it had been important to them, they would have been wanting to worship Jesus along with the Magi. In fact, they would have been busy about that long before the Magi had arrived. But even after Herod is talking to the chief priests and the scribes, and they've talked about where the Messiah is coming, they have this conversation, and then they all just go home. They just go home. Just go back to their busy lives, because they're so important. And their busy lives are so important, they don't have time for the God of the universe and the King and Savior that He has sent into the world. So children, what is God saying to you today through this true story? He's saying to you, children, be like the Magi. Seek God with all your heart. Believe God's word. Obey God's word. And God will watch over you and bless you, just like he did the Magi. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.